Okay, we'd like to welcome everyone to the Wednesday night Landmark Baptist Church. As you can tell, I've got my vacation Bible school shirt on, and I'm very happy with our vacation Bible school effort. What a blessing it was to see that many children participate, and a great success every night, from my observation, was just a blessing. And we thank God for that blessing. I know a lot of people made a lot of sacrifices for that to become a reality. And I believe there'll be dividends on that. And we're thankful for those that did make the sacrifices. We're thankful for everything going as good as could be. Food was excellent. Attendance was excellent. The fun day was excellent. I liked everything about it. And here we are now, July 24, 2024, and 2024, election year. And just to show you how important Vacation Bible School is, 2 weeks ago, I believe, a 12-year-old girl killed her 8-year-old sister over an iPhone, smothered her. And the parents had video camera recorders in the bedroom just to kind of keep an eye on the girls in case something was to happen or whatever. And they recorded her. The younger sister was in the top bunk and the older sister was in the bottom bunk. And they was fighting over an iPhone and lost her life. Eight-year-old girl is no longer in this world over an electronic device. And before you say, I can't believe that, you'd be surprised what people have been killed over. You know, maybe it's something said in the wrong way, maybe at the wrong time. People have lost their life. But a little 8-year-old girl, you know, Vacation Bible School will help a lot with young people understanding how they need to act, their role in life. You know, Rita was teaching them about the love of God, teaching them about forgiving one another. And you know, those things need to be taught. And I appreciate her taking that time to do it. The Bible tells us to teach children, train them up in the way they should go. And that was a tremendous effort. I praise God for it. Amen. And we got a chance to take our wife out to eat today. We went to a Chinese restaurant, and she wept the whole time we was there. And finally, I said, what's the matter? She said, nothing. She said, I just don't get to get out. It's just a blessing to be here. And I realized how important it was, you know, for her to get out. We need to do more of that. I usually go get us something, bring it home. But I'm going to have to start taking her out every now and then. And it was monumental to her. To me, it was just kind of like, you know, getting a wheelchair out, putting her in there, and wheeling it in there, and then get her a plate, bring it to her. But for her, it was over the top, just a blessing. And we thank God for that. You know, we take her health for granted. And for all I know, Eddie Wade may be in a wheelchair tomorrow. I mean, none of us know. We thank, you know, like Samson, I'll go out as other times, and there'll be a day that you won't. And then you'll have to deal with that. I mentioned about Christopher Reeve, the guy that made the movie. He was the actor in Superman, fell off a horse, hit his neck, paralyzed him from the neck down, and tried to commit suicide. Finally, I think succeeded. But that's kind of the way life is. There's joy every day. If you're above the ground, praise God. If you're saved, praise God even more. And if you're not saved, praise God that you can be saved. He invites all. The invitation is, come unto me, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He invites you to come to him, and he can fix it. I don't care what you've done. He loves you. He loved you enough to die for you, and he loved you enough to raise again for your justification. Now, him dying for you is wonderful, but he raised himself from the grave for our justification. So now that he's one that was dead, now is alive forevermore, we got the promise of eternal life through him. Amen. All right. We praise God for you listening in tonight. I hope you're listening in. We mentioned last Wednesday night, two weeks ago, we didn't have Wednesday night last week due to the Vacation Bible School. I had no problem whatsoever with that. I love having reasons like that for not having the Bible study. But we started out a series on underestimating God. And we started out how the devil underestimated God and paid the price for it. And he's mad. He's mad today. He's mad at you. He's mad at God. He can't do nothing about being mad at God. He done learned that he might have been mighty, but he wasn't almighty. But him being mad at you, now that's another story. Thank God that if God be for us, who can be against us? But underestimating God started out with the devil. And we're going to get the next one in line tonight, which would be Adam. But we're going to take our text tonight out of Hebrews chapter 10 before we go to Genesis there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28-31. It says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he has sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite to the Spirit of grace? For we know him that have said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Paul made reference to that. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord," he said, "we persuade men." But we want to talk about the first man that got in trouble with God. And I don't know necessarily that Adam underestimated God, but he may have underestimated the Word of God. Because God gave a commandment to Adam. The Bible says Adam was first formed, then Eve, in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 13. But it says here that the Lord God, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says the Lord God took the man, talking about Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, verse 16, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Now Adam had to go ahead to eat anything in that garden except for this next verse here. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now this is a commandment. You notice in verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man." And in the commandment he said, "You can eat of all the trees of the garden, except for one." And he said, "In the day that you do eat of it, you'll surely die." Now, I'm talking tonight about underestimating God. In the book of Hebrews again, chapter 2, we're just going to establish how important it is to give respect to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 1 through 3 says, "Therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Now that's talking about the Word of God. Now Adam got the Word of God there from God in the garden. And it says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just compensance of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Now Adam, he heard that word, and Moses is the one that wrote the book of Genesis. But he got it from deputation from the Lord. The Bible says holy men of God by the Holy Ghost. Scripture was not given by the will of man, but by the will of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter said, I ain't going to go there. But God here gave Adam a commandment, and it was just one commandment, and it was a simple commandment. You can eat anything you want in the garden except for one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Somebody said, what kind of tree was it? It don't matter. Here's what's important about that tree. God said, don't eat of that tree. Now, you know, my parents, they told me a lot of things not to do, and I've been better off not to do them, but I did them, and I paid the price for it. Sometimes, you know, I was told, you know, I was not allowed to go out on the weekends. You know, they punished me. I didn't get to go out. I didn't get to go nowhere. Sometimes I punished, you know, they took away the car keys. Sometimes, you know, they took away my allowance and stuff like that. But they meant it for my good. Well, the Bible says God won't withhold any good thing from us. God gave Adam everything but one tree. And you know what? If you ever tell a child not to do something, I mean, it's amazing. That's the one thing they'll strive to do, is that one thing. Now, something wrong with selecting. But anyway, and the Lord God, here, let's see here. I don't want to follow these verses here. I want to jump down to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, here the serpent is, and you know, after the curse, the serpent was, God here put a curse on that serpent. And he said, upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Here in verse 14, the serpent wasn't cursed right here. Paul made a reference about Satan able to transfer himself into an angel of light there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And this could have been a metaphor, you know, like that. The serpent lent itself to Satan. And if you know enough Bible, you know what I'm talking about in Ezekiel chapter 28, mentioned about him being in the garden. And here, this serpent here, he's not doing the work of God. He's doing the work of the one that underestimated God, the work of the devil. And he's contradicting the commandment that God gave Adam. And he says, yea, have God said. That's a kind of a questioning statement. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And you know, it calls, you know, people will cause you to maybe question something in this Bible, not to put the most earnest heed to it, to maybe discount it a little bit. And I'm glad, praise God, it's not up to me, it's up to Jesus. He's the good shepherd, loves his sheep, cares for his sheep, leads his sheep, guides his sheep, calls us by name. Well, Adam and Eve here, they're getting ready to find out that God does not respect persons. And to the woman said unto the serpent, or the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, this is important. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Now, God's the one who gave that commandment. And this is kind of like, you know, she's innocent, and all she knows to do is obey what God has told her. And she's doing that. He said, she says, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He just added one word to the word of God. You know, the Bible says not to add to that word nor take away from that word. Well, the devil just added one word. Ye shall not surely die. Notice today teenagers, they'll say something and then they'll say not. And it's kind of been a joking matter. Well, this wasn't in a joking matter. This was in a deceiving way here. The serpent said to the woman, well, you're not going to die. God's too good. God wouldn't do nothing like that. He's God of love. And you know, people today, they kind of like Eve and Adam. They think, you know, God would never do that. Well, God gave a simple commandment. And it was straight from the mouth of God to Adam. I mean, he gave it gumbarrel straight. And now the serpent has beguiled Eve, and all he changed was one word. You shall not surely die. He says, if that wasn't enough, he went on verse 5, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what the devil does, not only does he change the word of God into a lie, but then he gives her a reason to go ahead and break that commandment of God. He said, God knows, you know, the day you're going to eat, that your eyes are going to be open. God knows you're going to eat of it. God knows, you know, you're going to be like Him, knowing the difference between good and evil. And verse 6 shows you the fruit or the product of the deception of the serpent. And verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, I don't believe she'd even looked at it. I believe they were so afraid of eating of that tree that they kind of hid themselves from it. I don't know. And you know, there's a lot of things you don't need to look at today. I didn't get saved when I was 34 years old. But even today, I carry images in my mind I wished I'd never seen. There's places I went, I wish I'd never went there. There's things I've done I wished I'd never done. They kind of haunt me. And, you know, I can't undo them. Well, I don't believe Adam and Eve had ever even looked at this tree. I believe they feared God enough that I believe they shunned this tree. So you'll notice here in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw something that day, and I guess it looked good. And that's the way sin is. It looks good. Somebody said, sin's kind of like the grass that's always green on the side of the fence. It is on tell you it's a septic tank underneath it. Well, the woman took a look at this tree, and after the deception of the serpent, and after being beguiled of the serpent, it says here, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes. That tells me it caught her attention. You know, we're sometimes enticed by things. You know, children, there's some things they don't need to be around. They used to have a restriction. I don't know if they've even got it anymore now or not, but you had to be like 18 years old, you know. Had to have parents' consent. I know you couldn't buy alcohol when I was young until you was 21, and we had somebody that looked like he's 21. They could pass the scrutiny of the guy selling the alcohol. We was able to get it through him. But here, she saw not only that it was good for food, but she saw also it's pleasant to the eyes. I'm going to say it kind of enticed her. And sin's like that. Sin, you know, if sin was ugly, it wouldn't be so enticing. But sin always looks good. It always draws you with cords and entangles you like a spider web. Well, she took a look at this tree, and what she saw, she liked. She saw it to be a tree to be desired, to make one wise. And after that great commercial that the devil gave Eve, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now the Bible tells us that Adam wasn't deceived in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And in this incident, he pictures Jesus. The Bible said the Lord loved the church and gave Himself for it. And Adam wasn't deceived, which means he eat because of his love for his wife, Eve. And he wasn't deceived, is what I'm trying to get across here. But it didn't make no difference that he wasn't deceived. There still came a price. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. You know, I can remember as a little boy running through the house buck naked and didn't know it, did not have a clue. And there was a day I got a little older, and while I'm on this subject matter here, let me spend just a minute here. They're taking advantage of our children in our schools. And here's how they do it. They tell little boys, they say, you're not interested in girls, are you? And they say, no, yuck. Ugh. And they, you know, the girls will say boys got cooties and everything else. Well, there's a reason for that. There'll be a time that they'll be interested in girls. then there'll be a time that little girls will grow up and they'll be interested in boys. So they're taking advantage, like this serpent and Satan took advantage of Adam and Eve. They're taking advantage of our children in school. They're saying, you're like us. And you see, God set this thing up. 10-year-old girls don't need to have an abortion. 10-year-old girls need to be little girls. And their man is corrupting the image of God and the creation of God. And they're meddling with the minds of our children, just like this serpent meddled with the mind of Eve, which also affected Adam. Our little children need to grow up. They need time to grow up. They don't need sex education in the school. They don't need the LGBTQRST lies from hell. They don't even need sex education, period. They need to be taught reading, writing, arithmetic, history, art, sports. Just get this garbage out. They don't need drag queen hour. Need to drag these drag queens out and give them a swift kick in the behind and get them out of our school system. There's a price, and this price is being paid. There are young people that are taking their lives today because they believed that lie. Some of them went so far to have surgery, to change their gender, and it just don't add up. And they're having to live with the consequences of that. And you parents need to listen to me. And they can't live with it, and they don't want to live. And you're partly responsible, and I am too. This don't need to be going on in our schools. Our schools need an overhaul. There should never have any of this stuff going on in our schools. I know this Rita, she was letting them color. That's what they need to do. She was letting them make things. Let them be children. Let them grow up. If the serpent had left Adam and Eve alone, everything would have been well. But there's always going to be a serpent that's always going to try to creep in. And that's what's going on in our schools today. They're literally lying to innocent minds just like Adam and Eve had. They were innocent. They didn't know they was naked. They didn't know anything. All they knew was eat of all the trees of the garden except one. And the consequences of disobeying that one commandment, the Bible said in Romans chapter 5, by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. The price for that mistake did not change. And even today, God is a God of love. Hey, He's long-suffering us. He's full of compassion. He not only will pardon, He will abundantly pardon. I'll tell you what, He set some guidelines down. We'll touch them here in a minute. But don't underestimate God in this life, because there are severe consequences. And a lot of people already know what I'm saying. That boy, that young boy that took a shot at President Trump, I think his name was Matthew Crook. James Matthew Crook or something like that. I mean, I got his name right. He already knows better. He knows that he was lied to. He knows that he was really just used. They shot him. They're probably the ones that put him in that position, and he was, you know, a scapegoat. You know, they killed him. 20 years old. Verse 7 said, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. God didn't want that. You see the last verse of chapter 2? They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There wasn't no shame. But now they know they're naked, and now there's shame, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now those aprons are like religion. They work great. Till God showed up. Religion's just like that. You know, you're probably religious yourself. And pure religion, undefiled before God, visits the widows and the fatherless in their afflictions. Hey, God loves religion in one respect. But I'll tell you what, the bottom line is this: you must be born again. If you're not born again, you're not part of the family of God. God's not going to bypass His Word. God's not no respecter of persons. And even though they made these fig leaves, it covered their nakedness. It took care of the shame problem. Made them feel better. It didn't work when God showed up. If you're religious out there, a lot of people, they're more religious than I am. They've got better works than I do. They're more sincere in some ways than I am. You take the Amish. I mean, they make tremendous sacrifices. Paul said, though I give my body to be burned and have not charities, it profit me nothing. Listen, no matter what you could do, unless you're as righteous as Jesus is, and you're not, and no one is, that's how good you got to be to go to heaven. Now, if you walk up right alongside Jesus and you're just as righteous as Him, you'll be accepted. You'll go right into heaven. You'll go into the joys of the Lord. You'll walk the streets of gold. Hey, you'll be right. You'll fit right in. I couldn't do that. But Jesus imputed His righteousness to me like Jonathan took off his royal clothes and put them on David, and David took off his rags and Jonathan put David's rags on. And just pictures what Jesus done for us. He made us royalty. And in here, God also made clothes for Adam and Eve. But here, they're in trouble. They're in trouble because they broke that one commandment. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Like I said, this all because they broke that commandment. They're making an effort, but their effort's in vain. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And listen, if you're religiously lost out there today, when God shows up, you'll hide too. Read Revelation chapter 6. They're trying to find a hole to get in. They're crying out for the rocks to hide them from the face of Him that's coming. You won't be ready to meet Him. Old song. Oh, shall we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home. Oh, can we say meet? I can't remember how the song goes. You better be ready. Ready or not, He's coming. Amen. I can't remember how that song goes, but I'm glad I'm ready. And I'm ready not because of Eddie. I'm ready because of Calvary and the blood of His Son Jesus that cleanses all from all sin. I'm ready. I'm telling you, I'm complete in Him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. I don't have to speak in tongues. I don't have to take up serpents. I don't have to drink strychnine or any poison. I don't have to do none of that. I'm complete in Him. Completely saved. Completely accepted. Complete. When they heard the voice of the Lord God, verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3, walking in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They're afraid. And you know, we won't be afraid when He shows up. If you're saved, you won't be. If you're lost, you will be. Oh, it's not going to be good if He shows up and you're still in sin. Now, over the top of this verse number 8, it says, the seeking God, His Sabbath rest has been broken, and His new work has begun. Jesus starts working on man's redemption, even right here. He starts at work by seeking lost sinners. The Bible said the Lord came in this world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Jesus said, the Son of Man come to seek and save that which is lost. Oh, Lord. Thank You. Woo! He's already began His work from the Sabbath of rest. And His work is seeking lost sinners. Oh, my. He's seeking them here. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God already knew where Adam was. Adam's the one that's in trouble. But Lord, I'm glad he didn't leave me in sin. I'm glad he loved me not only enough to seek me, not only enough to save me, but he's calling out, Adam, where you at? He said, I heard thy voice. You know, Adam, he don't know what to do here. And I didn't know what to do to get saved neither. A lot of people don't know the simplicity. Paul said, many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. You call it a common salvation. It's pretty common, pretty simple. Adam here, he says, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Now that's a sinner confessing his sin, and he don't even know he's confessing his sin. Adam don't even know, that he's not only naked but guilty now, and God's going to help him with that. He said, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now look how God in love here confronts Adam. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? You see, that question right there puts the finger on the problem. In Genesis chapter 4, Jesus is reasoning there with a woman at the well there, and he said, go get your husband. She said, sir, I have no husband. See, he put his finger on the problem. He said, you answered right. You've had five, and the one you got now ain't your own. I'm telling you, the Lord puts a finger on the problem. And here, he said, who told thee? Who told you was naked, Adam? Adam, have you eaten of that tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Boy, you see Adam shaking in his boots right here. Now, Adam here, standing guilty before God. Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that the whole world may be guilty before God. Well, Adam is the whole world. There's nobody but him and Eve right here. And the man said to woman, you know, he's got to point the finger at someone else. You know, one thing it's hard to do, and that's admit. My mama asked me, have you been them cookies and had chocolate? Oh, I'm not. No, no, mama, I didn't eat none of them cookies. And that's the way we are. And Adam here, he's guilty as guilty can be. Yet Adam says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman, they're both scared to death right here. And I'll tell you, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And one day people understand, God, he ain't like you're thinking. The Bible said he's a consuming fire. In the last verse there of Hebrews chapter 10, so our God's a consuming fire. You know, you watch that movie, The Wizard of Oz, and here they come down through there, and that big fire boiling up back there, you know, and that guy pulling them levers back there, and scared them, that lion jumped through that one. That's kind of where to be, I guess, when a lot of people meet God. He's a consuming fire. And he said, what is this thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled of me, and I did eat. Now look, all two of these excuses are good. Now the serpent couldn't give an excuse, but Adam gave an excuse, that woman, and the woman gave an excuse, that serpent, but there wasn't none of them good enough. They were good excuses. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and thus shall thou eat all the days of thy life. A serpent, now he slithers across the ground. And I don't know what it looked like before the curse, but I'll tell you what, from that day on, he slid across the ground. And dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. That's the curse God put on the serpent. And he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. Every time I see a snake, I'm looking for something to hit it in the head with. And thou shalt bruise his heel. And there have been a few of them tried to, you know, to bite my heel. And you got to be pretty fast to keep them getting bit by a snake. But I am pretty fast. And I've busted a lot of heads. And they've yet to bite me. But they've tried. Several of them have tried. I always wear boots. That helps a little bit. Now here's the judgment upon the woman, verse 16. That's what I'm talking about don't underestimate God. I guess Adam and Eve thought, phew, but we got out of that. Well, God's done judged the serpent. And they're probably sitting there thinking, Boy, he got what was coming to him. Now God turns to the woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee. It's twice God said in verse 11, where have I commanded thee? Now here again he says, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. God tells Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. You know, I probably stress this too much, but I say to everybody out there, be sure and ask God to bless your food before you eat it. Don't eat a curse. You hear what the Lord said here? Cursed is the ground for your sake. Everything we eat comes out of the ground. See, I eat beef. Cows eat grass. Just everything comes from the earth. I eat eggs. The birds eat the insects. Insects eat the grass. No matter what. It's all affected by this curse. Now, I can't prove this. It may not be even necessarily true. But instead of eating a curse, ask God's blessings upon what you get ready to eat. I do believe if you'll do that, there'll be a whole lot less cancer. I believe there'll be a whole lot less sickness, a whole lot less problem health-wise. If it's got a curse on it, why not ask God to turn it into a blessing? That's what my advice is to you. God told Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. He said, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. And God fixed it. Well, we got to eat. I eat today. And I made my wife pancakes this morning and went to eat with her at the Chinese restaurant and slipped me in a brock, one of them sausage looking thing, brock things. I ate a couple of them too. I like to eat. And I always thank the Lord for it and ask Him to bless it. But in this curse, God says, not only in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life, but He said also thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. Now at this time, Adam and Eve are both vegetarians. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but they're just eating herbs. They're eating fruit, they're eating vegetables, things like that. He said, thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now, when Noah came out of the ark, God, He changed the diet where they could eat meat there. And, they may eat meat before, I don't know. But God did tell them that all the things were theirs to eat. Let's not eat the blood. And not only that part of the curse there, God said, and in the sweat of thy face. Now, I've heard people talk about, Adam, by the sweat of his brow, and the face is, the brow is part of the face. But it says, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. In other words, you're going to have to work for what you've got to eat. Now, they had it made in the garden. All they had to do was just go get what they wanted to eat. And I'm going to say they had everything they needed there. But now they're going to have to work for what they've got to eat. And God said, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Let me get back to that disobeying that commandment. Look in Galatians chapter 1, Paul talking about the gospel. And a lot of people, I'll just tell you, you do a whole lot better. Just let God be God. Let His Word be His Word. And you'd be better off reading the Bible for yourself. But Paul here talking to the church in Galatia. And he says in verse 6, I read all of this, but I won't, for sake of time, start in verse 6. He tells this church in Galatia, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ, and to another gospel. Now there's a lot of people down here teaching and preaching a lot of things. I mean, you got Jehovah's Witness. Hey, I'm a Jehovah's Witness myself. I saved one. And you got Mormons. And you got, I don't know how many different kinds of faith. I mean, so many different kinds. And then you got Amish, Mennonites. hey, you got Muslims, you got all that stuff. Well, the gospel here, Paul says, which is not another, verse 7, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, now he's putting pretty serious emphasis here, though we are an angel from heaven, you know, Joseph Smith, the Mormons, the Book of Mormon, I had a guy I worked with gave me a Book of Mormon, and it starts out at the beginning of the Book of Mormon, it gives a testimony of Joseph Smith, and a testimony of Joseph Smith, an angel came to him and told him what his golden plates were. He went and dug them up, and an angel helped him translate them. That's where the Book of Mormon came from. Well, here Paul says, verse 8, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, Paul said, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. And, you know, we put quite a bit of emphasis on the gospel. And Paul declared the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So here's a saved man delivering the gospel to others. He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So Paul said, I'm a saved man, and that's why I gave you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's defining the gospel. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the simplest text on the gospel you'll find in the Bible. And he goes on to say, after that he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain of this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he is seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all he's seen of me. Paul talking about himself. Also as one born out of due time. He said, for I am the least of the apostles. And, you know, the gospel, that's how important the gospel is, how important the Word of God is. Don't underestimate God. Like I said, they were confronted, they were condemned, they were served eviction notice from their home. If you'll look at the latter part here, verse number 3, verse 22, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. That tree of life pictures Calvary, and God's got Calvary in the plans for man, but not in the way that man could have got to it, because the price hadn't been paid. And God's got everything planned out. In the plan of God, it was planned that a virgin would conceive. And listen, if Jesus wasn't virgin born, then you're lost and I'm lost too. That's part of it. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. And not only was a virgin going to conceive, but one day he would go to a cross, give his life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. That was the work that God began after man broke that one commandment there. They were served eviction notice from their garden home. And look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Don't ever underestimate God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I mean, this is what's expected of us. God gave Adam one commandment. Well, here's the commandment of God to you and me. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. One of the Lord's commandments was to love our enemies, to forgive one another. You see, we can be teaching our children this in schools. Rita, bless her heart, she conveyed that to these little children this week here at Landmark. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Every man wants to do something, that they want to somehow earn their way to heaven. They want to somehow be justified in the sight of God. Well, here's how to do it. Just keep the commandment of God. Now, He commanded us to repent. In Acts chapter 17, the Bible says God winked at the wisdom of this world and commanded all men everywhere to repent. I think that's Acts 17 verse 30, I believe. He commanded you to repent. What's repent mean? It means to admit you're a sinner and to say you're sorry for your sins. That's repentance. And then salvation is receiving forgiveness from your sins. So He says here, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. If I can find this, I think it's in John chapter 17, I believe. Come on, Eddie. Here's one of them, John 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. But the verse I was looking for, He said, new commandment I give you, that you love one another. In John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. And then verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. You see, when you love one another, you don't kill your 8-year-old sister over an iPhone. When you love one another, you help one another. And love, God is love. And He wants us to be like Him. He loves us. And He wants us to love one another. That's the greatest commandment. He said, but all the Ten Commandments hang on two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. First four commandments. If you keep the first four commandments, it's because you love God when you keep them. And the next six, if you love your neighbor, you'll keep them next six, because that's the other half of the two commandments on which all the commandments of God hang on. Them two right there. Love God, love your neighbor. In St. John chapter 14, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He said, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You don't have no fellowship with God? Start keeping His commandments, and He'll manifest Himself to you. He said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. He that loveth me, not keep them not, my sayings. You know, just a lot of simple things in here that you could apply to your life and help you out a bunch. Couldn't find the verse I was looking for, but that's all right. I'm back in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 about this being the whole duty of man. Here's why that God puts this emphasis on keeping His commandments. Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. You know what? We're teaching about underestimating God. Adam and Eve lost their home, lost their standing with God, got drove out, and no doubt they wished that they hadn't eaten that fruit, that tree. But the severity that we mentioned there, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy. That's how strong that commandment was. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. A lot of things nobody knows about you and God. You've kept them hid. They'll be revealed in the last day. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now in the last day, everyone, and I won't stand here, I'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But in Revelation chapter 20, the lost world, they'll get their chance. They'll get their chance to stand before God. They'll get their chance, you know, to give their reason, their excuse. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 21, or verse 11, I said 21. That's chapter 21. In Revelation chapter 20, you got a great white throne, verse 11, him that sat on it whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. So there's no earth, there's no heaven, there's only a great white throne. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. There will be a day that you will give an account to God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says that's the point unto man, once the eye and after that the judgment. Well, here they are. They're standing before God. And the books are open. Those secret things that I mentioned there in verse 14, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. If you haven't got saved, they've not been blotted out. They'll be brought out when these books are open. Now, my book's got blank pages. How's that, Brother Eddie? They're under blood. Never be remembered no more against me. God counted my sin as far as east is from the west, never remember no more against me. There'll be no books open concerning Brother Eddie, thanks to Calvary. Calvary cleaned my slate. I've got the peace of God. There's no condemnation. Name in Christ Jesus. But here are these that were condemned, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. So here's all these people. Can't wait to get a chance to talk to God. Tell how they've been mistreated. How they, the way they was born. You know, they were underprivileged. You know, they were minority. They didn't have the things other people had. And you know, they're just kind of like, you know, the other day. They want special rights. They want to somehow make exceptions for me. Well, when these books are open, they're going to keep a tight lip. They're not going to say a word. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. They buried Sodom. They buried Osama bin Laden at the sea. No country would take him. That speaks volume about that terrorist, don't it? No country would take Osama bin Laden, so they buried him at sea. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. Your hell's not gone away. As you can tell right here, in the last day, this great day, the day of judgment here, hell gave up those which are in it. And they were judged, every man according to their works. They got their day in the court of God. And I'll tell you right now, it'll be so quiet that day that you'd be able to hear a pin drop if there was one to drop. Like I said, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. These people are standing before the living God. The jokes have stopped. The laughter's stopped. They're scared. Says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's a sad commentary. When God wanted to give you a home in heaven, when God died for your sins and said, come to me. In John 5:40, he said, you will not come to me that you may have life. You didn't want nothing to do with that Jesus. You scoffed at that name Jesus. You made jokes about people that went to church. Brother Bob Malkin, bless his heart. His father just passed away, and him and his younger brother pleaded with their Orthodox Jew father to try to get him saved, and he wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Now, I know Paul said in Romans chapter 11 that all Israel will be saved. I don't even know how to explain that. I'll let God be God. I'm going to put my dog in there in that fight. And God has made reservations for the Jews. It says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, I don't have anything to do with any of this. The reason I don't is because I'm in the family of God. My sins are in the blood of Jesus. My name's in the book of life. Hey, I'm a citizen of heaven. One day I'm going home. This is not my home. I'm on my way home. And when I get home, I'll fit in. I don't fit in down here. People say all kinds of things about Brother Eddie. Say he's crazy. I am. But I'm right kind of crazy. And they say, I wish he'd shut up. Sometimes I wish I could too. But I'm kind of like wine ready to burst. I can't help it. Sometimes I just got to vent a little bit. It's bigger than me. But I'll tell you what, this bunch right here, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Whew. And the books were open. It's going to be a sad day. And another book was open, which is the book of life. They ain't got no hope whatsoever. They wouldn't even be in this line if her name was written in the book of life. Don't underestimate God, friend. He's a God of love. He loves you. But He's ready even... Well, let's just read what Paul said about God in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's given a charge to a young preacher, Timothy. And he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. That's the living and the dead. He's going to judge them. He's ready to judge. And He will judge. At His appearing and His kingdom. We read that there in Revelation chapter 20. Like I said, don't underestimate God, friend. Don't underestimate eternity. You say, oh, it's just a book. Fall on this book, you can live. This book falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. I'll pray for you, friend. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. We gave a discourse, dear God, tonight. Done our best, Lord, to reason with people out of the Scriptures. Lord, to help them understand the great love of God, and yet the great judgment, Lord of God. The great mercy, and yet the great wrath. Lord, you're a balanced being. Lord, you wanted to spare Nineveh. Lord, you wanted to spare them enough that you caused the preacher to be swallowed by a whale that he might go to Nineveh and deliver that message. Yet in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown and 120,000 people that didn't know their left hand and their right hand repented. Lord, you didn't want to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but there wasn't even 10 righteous people there. And you rained down fire and brimstone for a testimony to those that should live like that hereafter. Lord, today they're living just like that. It's amazing, God, how the Word of God still being fulfilled even today in this year 2024. We pleaded, Lord, tonight, and Lord, we brought the Word of God, brought it out, Father, and put it, Lord, precept upon precept, line upon line. Put it right before, Lord, dear God, this world tonight. And I pray they've received what we've said tonight. Give the most earnest heed to it. Thank you for Rita meeting with us over here, Lord. Help us, Lord, to record these messages. In Jesus' name we ask your blessed will and your blessings to be upon our efforts. Amen. All right. We'll stop it right there. Amen.